Question, is there an international consensus on an approach to the Syrian civil war? We may know more at the conclusion of the G8 summit in Northern Ireland this week. President Obama is in attendance, his first chance to meet with heads of state since formally acknowledging that Syrian forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad have used chemical weapons against the rebels. The Obama administration has now pledged to step up military support for the Syrian opposition. But will such a pledge be decisive on the battlefield? What aggressive steps are needed to transform the fighting on the ground? With us is Carney Ross, former British diplomat and founder of Independent Diplomat, a nonprofit diplomatic advisory group that is currently advising the Syrian coalition. Carney Ross, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what does it mean to be advising the Syrian coalition at this particular juncture?
Well, my organization, Independent Diplomat, offers advice in diplomatic strategy, and we are advising the US and in particular the New York office of the Syrian coalition. We're not advising them in Istanbul or more generally.
All right, let's talk about the skepticism that we heard reports in reaction to the Obama administration's apparent change on the issue of chemical weapons. Skepticism on the part of the opposition that any material support would actually be decisive. Do you share that skepticism?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that the coalition is grateful for any support it can get. They have been asking for military support for a long time. And I think the shift in the US position is to them very welcome. I also think the terms of that assistance, what exactly it entails, is not yet fully clear.
And what would you recommend without betraying any confidences? Because in a sense, if we escalate weapons into Syria, we're fueling a conflict that goes from Lebanon with the involvement of Hezbollah straight into instability in Turkey, which may or may not be related to what's going on in Syria. And I haven't even mentioned the bombings in Iraq over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, I think it's important to remember that there is a diplomatic process going on as well, in particular preparations for the so-called Geneva II peace conference. The American decision to increase military support for the rebels could be seen in that light, in a sense upping the stakes for that conference, where the Russians have very clearly staked their support behind the Assad regime. On the political front, the coalition very, very much support that conference, and I hope that it will be successful, though its prospects remain very fragile.
The opposition has called for a no-fly zone. There is support in the U.S. in some quarters for a no-fly zone to be enforced by a coalition, if not the U.S. Forces entirely. Or there's even the possibility of a no-fly zone being enforced by opposition forces properly armed. Do you think a no-fly zone would put a kind of hold on the conflict and aid this Geneva meeting moving forward? Or would it escalate a sense of divisiveness and harden positions at a meeting like this?
I'm not a military expert, nor an expert on the military situation in Syria, so it's not possible for me to judge the military implications of a no-fly zone. I also think reading between the lines of the U.S. position right now, the imposition of a U.S.-enforced no-fly zone before the Geneva II conference is looking to me unlikely, although that conference keeps getting postponed. I want to reiterate and underline that these military developments are, of course, significant, but the big story politically is this Geneva II conference, where I think the big test will be whether the Russians and the Americans collectively are committed enough to strike a deal between the regime and the opposition.
There's a bit of a branding battle going on between the opposition and forces in Russia and elsewhere. Bashar al-Assad, of course, has a hand in this as well. What do you make of the reports that the opposition is a bunch of bloodthirsty? I think one of the reports online describes them as organ-eating fighters who are barbaric and not appropriate parties for a conference like the Geneva conference.
Well, this is Putin making play of a video that appeared online a couple of weeks ago of a rebel fighter allegedly eating the organs of a Syrian army corpse, which is, of course, revolting. The Syrian coalition have made very, very clear their utter condemnation of these acts. It's not particularly helpful that Putin has raised this kind of issue. What we're looking for politically is compromise from all sides, and that means from the Russians too.
Can the opposition self-enforce its sense of outrage over videos like that, plus condemnations in the United States that elements of al-Qaeda have infiltrated the opposition, in the sense that what is negotiated by whatever parties are in Geneva will actually be enforced on the ground by the various groups that are a part of the opposition?
I think it's a very difficult issue for the coalition. They've made very clear their condemnation of Al-Qaeda, of terrorism. They do not see the future of Syria as being one of a kind of monotheistic Islamist state. On the contrary, they believe in a kind of pluralist democracy as the future of Syria. But the enforceability of a peace deal, of course, depends on what that peace deal is and depends on the degree to which armed groups on the ground consent to that. And also, frankly, it will depend on the degree to which the international community is prepared to enforce such a deal. Personally, and these are my personal views, I think that if there is a deal in a Geneva 2 conference, it will have to be at a minimum policed by some kind of international peacekeeping force. The situation on the ground is clearly too chaotic to expect that a peace deal will necessarily stick with all parties from day one.
Would you say that a multinational peacekeeping force is also required to distribute humanitarian aid at this state of the conflict?
The humanitarian situation is absolutely dreadful. The coalition has been calling for much greater humanitarian access for a long time, as indeed has the UN itself. If you read the UN reports and the coordinated statements of the various UN humanitarian agencies, that is more or less exactly what they're asking for. At a minimum, that there be guaranteed access at the borders. One of the big problems for the humanitarian agencies and for the UN is that the government is in charge of humanitarian and distribution over much of the country. That is limiting the impact of humanitarian aid, and we're seeing a horrific amount of human suffering as a result.
Karn Ross is a former British diplomat and the founder of Independent Diplomat, a nonprofit advisory group that is currently advising the Syrian coalition. Karn Ross, thanks so much.
Thank you.